Welcome to the Monday, December 17th edition of the Clemson Dubcast. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Clemson football hitting the practice fields again today. They had some heavy practices on Friday and Saturday, hitting it really hard as they try to get back into the feel of big boy football. So we got on Tuesday, the Clemson's playoff media day on campus. That's when a lot of the national media flock to Tigertown to tell a lot of the stories that have made this 2018 team. Then on Wednesday, got the signing day extravaganza, and then they're going to practice. And then they break for a little Christmas break. It's hard to believe this is already upon us. The team will reconvene on Sunday. I think they're going to go through like a light walkthrough type of practice before hitting the buses to go to GSP, to go to Dallas. So right around the corner is the trip to the Lone Star State, where the team is going to celebrate Christmas away from home. And then, of course, all the practices and press conferences and everything leading up to the December 29th showdown with Notre Dame in the CFP semifinal. Title sponsor of the Clemson Dubcast, Parham Smith and Archenhold Law Firm in Greenville. Very happy to have them aboard. Couldn't do it without them. Blake Smith and Brooke Archenhold, both Clemson grads, both huge fans. Forte of their firm is medical negligence. They represent patients and their family members in medical negligence actions. They also handle all sorts of other complex personal injury litigation. I can vouch for them. About 10 years ago, a family member had a pretty serious medical situation with one of the local hospitals. Went to Blake Smith, and he very quickly and authoritatively gave us some great advice, and we were very thankful for that. Parham Smith and Archenhold offers free consultations. Give them a call, 864-990-4581 or parhamlaw.com. Business owners out there, if you own a business that accepts credit cards, you need to listen up. Tandem Payment, based right here in the upstate, run by Clemson folks, is changing the face of payment processing, quickly becoming the most cost-effective solution for all small businesses. Tandem's program saves you up to 90% on processing charges and gives your customers what they love most, choices. This is not some crazy introductory offer. Tandem's technology allows business owners to offset their credit card processing costs by applying a small customer service charge to each sale they make. If you want to know more, visit TandemPayment.com today. Former Tiger Hot Rod McDowell works over there at Tandem Payment. They handle all their business and customer service face-to-face. So give them a call, 864-672-1570. If you're tired of spending an arm and a leg on all those credit card processing fees. You know, a couple months ago, did an article on C.J. Spiller, in addition to having a podcast with him. And the article, made the premise that CJ is the most important player in Clemson football history just because of what it meant, his signing with Clemson and what it turned into as Dabo Swinney became the head coach and so on. And a few people on the message board at TigerIllustrated.com said, hey, without James Davis, none of it would have been possible, so James Davis would have to rank among the most important figures in Clemson history as well. And it's a great point, and it's crazy looking back at the program James Davis joined, the leap of faith that he took. I mean, we're talking about a team in 2004 that had finished 6-5 overall, 4-4 in the ACC, tied for sixth. They had lost to Duke. They had gotten smoked by Texas A&M, Florida State, and Virginia in three straight weeks in that 2004 season. Another thing, they were not exactly a recruiting powerhouse. 2003 recruiting class, 2 4 stars. 2004 recruiting class, 0 4 stars. 19 2 stars in that 2004 class, ranked 53rd nationally. James Davis, of course, in the 05 class, he was one of 6 4 stars, but he was the only one with a 6.0 marker, according to Rivals. So what a difference then compared to now, 13 years ago, here in 2018, when Clemson's ranked number 4 in the recruiting rankings. So here we go. James Davis, enjoy. All right, here with James Davis. James, thank you for joining us, man.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be here.
Man, I tell you what, it's been, I guess, 9 or 10 years, but still, you're one of the most beloved players during the Tommy Bowden era and in Clemson history, and also among the media who covered Clemson at that time. Definitely a favorite for the sports writers as well.
Yeah, I always try to keep my face clean and, you know, just do everything I was supposed to do while at Clemson. And, you know, I'm still just enjoying the praise that, you know, people give me, you know, as I'm always coming through and in and out of Clemson.
So tell us what you're up to these days.
Right now, not doing a lot, working in Atlanta. I also have my own youth football program that's doing pretty good. We the Atlanta Tigers, so I kind of model a lot of my stuff. You know, once I left Clemson, I did a lot of stuff, you know, just to keep representing like the Tigers.
Tell us a little more about that, about the team and the program, and what exactly that's all about.
Yeah, so we probably have about, I would say about 200 kids. We the Atlanta Tigers. You know, everything we do, you know, our uniforms, we kind of model after the Tigers. And our kids, man, they're very inspired by like what's going on at Clemson. So, you know, I try to get those guys up there at least to a game or to the spring game every year so they can just get that experience and so they can see, you know, what it takes to get to that level. And like a lot of my kids don't even know. They didn't even know that I was All-American at Clemson, you know, and also playing in NFL. So, you know, it's always good for them to get that experience to go up to Clemson and kind of see my name on a wall, kind of see the excitement, you know, what's going on up there.
And you came back for the NC State game, is that correct?
Yes, came back for the NC State game. It was one of the games, I think, Dabo's 10th reunion. And I think, I also got a chance to go to Tim Beret going away thing. And, you know, that was also a great experience, you know, to watch him and to be around Tim, who always gave me the utmost respect. So, yeah, that was great.
I didn't speak to you when you were here for the NC State game, but our guy Paul Strelo, I think, did on the sideline, and he told me that you said you were considering coming back to Clemson and that you said that Dabo had been working on you. Obviously, a lot of former players have come back and are on the support staff and coming back and getting their degrees and things of that nature. Is there anything recent, you know, from your standpoint, are you indeed planning on coming back or thinking about it, or what's the status of that?
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking about it. You know, I don't really know too much on the status on it yet. I did spoke with Dabo briefly. It was kind of like right before the game, and he told me that, you know, he want me to do it, and you know, and you know, I thought it'd be a great thing. So yeah, with me probably coming back and trying to finish up, you know, I would definitely love to come out and help, you know, with the young boys, you know, coming up to Clemson and already there. So, yeah, it definitely has been up. You know, I've spoken with the advisors and all that. So, it could be a thing.
What is it like for you to walk around the facilities now? And I'm assuming you've been to the football operations facility and the weight room and the slide and seen all that. Obviously, none of that was around when you were around. What is that like for you to see sort of what this program has become, not just a powerhouse on the field, but also just the dramatic changes that have occurred, like with the infrastructure of the program and facilities and all that?
I mean, just to see all of that stuff is so amazing. I mean, man, the whole university has really changed, you know, just everything around campus. A lot of stuff don't look the same anymore, but you can see the upgrade. You can see the rise of the program. You know, I definitely love the football facility, man. It's great. I was wowed by everything that's been going on up there. I can't really speak enough. It looks the best in the country, you know, to me. And, you know, I can see why so many guys wants to come up here and play football.
When was the first time you went through there?
I think at the beginning of the year. I actually came up. I actually was driving through to Charlotte one day, and man, I was like, I want to stop by and go about the facility. So I just drove by, and that was kind of like one of my first time as well. But just to go inside, yeah, probably about maybe right during the season. You know, I was able to see everything in the facility.
James, you are regarded by people who really pay attention as the guy who really turned the recruiting, sort of set in motion the process, you know, to get to where they are now, where they are such a recruiting monster. I mean, a lot of people would say C.J. Spiller, but a lot of people would also say if there was no James Davis, there would be no C.J. Spiller, because you came a year before. And I think I actually had C.J. on this podcast a couple of months ago, and he mentioned when he came on his visit how impressed he was. And he hung out with you, right, on his visit. Is that correct?
Yes, I actually host C.J. Spiller on his visit, and, you know, I talk with him a lot, you know, that's about coming to Clemson. And, you know, I think just by me and him having so many similarities, you know, I think that was a big part. But yeah, I definitely recruited CJ to come up here, and I mean, it's kind of took it off from there. So yeah, I probably was one of the first top recruits to probably come and set it, you know, and set it on fire as far as like all the recruits coming in. Yeah.
So
I can take some of that credit.
Don't be bashful. The years before you arrived at Clemson, the Tigers were 6-5, 9-4, 7-6, and 7-5. What was it? Well, okay, first of all, where else were you considering going? Like, who were your finalists?
Man, I had Tennessee, Virginia Tech, Alabama, Florida State, and Clemson. I think Clemson was actually like number 5. A lot of people don't know. They was like number 5 on my list. But I had never, like, going to Clemson. That was just off, like, Coach Burton Burns recruited me. And, you know, I just thought he worked so hard recruiting me. But I never thought, like, you know, Clemson just, you know, it wasn't my first, like, set. But once I went on the visit, man, it was like no other. You know, it was like one of those places that I just kind of fell in love with, you know, just coming on my first visit. Like, the fans, the people. You know, they really love me, and I mean, just to have signs and posters chanting my name at the basketball game, man, it was crazy. And after that, you know, I was all Clemson from there. I immediately put them number 1, and I committed actually on my visit. You know, that was it for me. I didn't even want to go anywhere else.
So this was not a football weekend?
No, it was not a football weekend. It was actually doing the big recruiting weekend when all the recruits come up.
So that would have been January of 2005, I guess.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So and so had you gone to a football game before that?
No, I had never been to a football game, anything. I actually did. You know what? I watched Clemson play versus South Carolina that year, man. That was the year that they got into a fight. And I think a lot of people, like, just a lot of people around me, they didn't want me to go to Clemson or whatever, you know, because of what had went on. But, you know, I still wanted to take my visit because I trusted Coach Burton Burns and Tommy Bowden. They actually brought their whole staff into my high school. You know, they recruited me like, you know, other schools recruited me, but Clemson went all in for me. And they also offered me my first scholarship. So that all of that took in account, you know, into like my plans on like what I wanted to do.
So really the brawl caused people around you to say, man, you don't want to go there?
Yeah. We had a lot of people like telling me, man, you know, it's not a good school. You seen the fight and all that. But, I didn't really take offense to like what happened. And yeah, things happen. And, you know, people who don't know football, you know, those are the kind of people who probably try to persuade you into making decisions. But, you know, I made my own decision on where I wanted to go.
All right. You said the whole staff came to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Was it the whole offensive staff or the?
Yeah. The whole. It seemed like the whole staff. It seemed like the whole staff, man. They came up to my school at Douglas, you know, sat in the principal's office. You know, they brought everybody in. And I think that was the first day they hired Rob Spence, and they brought Rob Spence as well. So, yeah, it was definitely exciting.
Obviously, Coach Burns was the lead recruiter. But what do you remember of Dabo from that time before you got to Clemson?
Yeah, Dabo is one of those guys, man, just with a lot of energy. I mean, just being at Clemson and just watching how he worked those receivers, man, like I used to feel sorry for those guys sometimes. They used to be working so hard. But, man, you can just tell the excitement, man, that Dabo always had with those guys. I mean, he pushed those guys to the limit. And, you know, that's what I kind of always liked about Dabo, man. He always pushed those guys to the limit. He wanted them to be great. So, yeah, that was definitely a great experience for me, just watching Dabo do that, and also him just getting the head coaching job, man, and how he's just turned around the program.
Was it that freshman? Was it that 2005 signing class where the Tommy Bowden and some of the athletic department folks, they got the bulldozer or whatever outside the stadium to turn over some trees just to make it look like they were building the facility, the West End Zone facility. Do you remember that?
I'm not sure, but I do remember them building the West End Zone. I think they was kind of halfway. No, they finished the West End Zone my senior season. So I got a chance to play over in it, but they done actually added some more stuff that's inside the stadium. So I'm not really sure about the bulldozer thing.
Okay. So, all right, I'll never forget this. August camp, I guess you came in over the summer, and August camp, it couldn't have been like the second day, maybe second or third day. I guess you weren't getting the ball enough in camp and you went home. tell us about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Just one of those. I don't know if it was second, third day, but it was longer than that. It was like midweek. And, man, before like coming on my visit or whatever, I didn't really look at the depth chart. And, man, when I got there, I was probably like the seventh day back. So I was like, man, you know, I thought I was going to never play. So I just, me just being young, being a freshman coming in, man, and, you know, I wasn't really thinking, wasn't smart, and, you know, and I just got so frustrated, you know, just calling home. I don't know. I think I ended up leaving, but I think I was back the next day. You know, I talked with Tommy, and he got me back up there. But I think after I came back, man, I just had a chip on my shoulder, you know. No matter what happens, you know, I was just going to keep my head down and just keep pushing myself through. But I was definitely frustrated, you know, at the moment, you know, because I wasn't, you know, getting that many carries in practice. I was kind of doing like scout team stuff. I just really wasn't in it, and my mind wasn't in it.
But I can tell you, you know, once I had the talk with Tommy and, you know, my high school coach, man, I had a new mission just heading up into camp. And I think when I got back, man, we had like the first scrimmage. And, man, and I kind of tore it up from there. And, you know, I didn't look back.
So what was it that Tommy Bowden told you that made you feel more, I guess, assured?
No, he just motivated me in the right way, man. Just telling me, you know, hey, you're going to work for it. You know, we're not just going to give it to you. You know, a lot of those guys been there, they work, and you got to work as well. And, you know, me just being a young guy, I wasn't thinking. You know, I was just thinking, hey, I'm a top recruit. I'm coming in. I'm ready to play right away. And, you know, he was right. You know, you definitely got to work, man. Even if you are a top recruit, you got to work your way up the ladder. And, you know, that's what kind of happened with me. You know, I also had to have some of those, you know, CJ kind of asked me about that too, you know, just coming in, you know, as a freshman when he was on a visit. So we always sit around and joke about it, man. I come up there to his house in Clemson. So it's always something that we always bring up and talk about.
Speaking of CJ, what is it like for you, I guess, seeing that? I mean, he wants to be at Clemson forever. Like, he told me, like, he can envision himself being a trustee type, you know, in the administration or something. I mean, he just loves it here, and it seems like he's putting down roots here. What's that like to see that for you?
Man, it's great, man. You know, when CJ when we talked about that, he told me that, you know, I was kind of, you know, my thing just envisioned with him, I was kind of seeing was just keep playing football. Yeah, he want to keep doing that, but he also want to live. He want to live in Clemson. You know, that's kind of like, you know, when he came there for college, you know, that's kind of like the place that he can go and just relax and get away from everything. Because, you know, me, you know, I have a lot of family. You know, my kids live in Atlanta, so I was kind of attached to home because I was so close. And when CJ came to Clemson, you know, he was a little further away from home, so he was able to stay in Clemson during those holidays. And man, he enjoyed like being at Clemson because he's from a small town, you know, down in Lake Butler. So he was able to get that good Clemson experience, and he always wanted to stay there.
All right, so 2005 freshman season. So who were the other backs? It was Reggie Merriweather.
Dwayne Coleman.
That's right. Kyle Browning.
Yeah.
And so at what point, well, let's go back to the opener. You got Tommy Bowden back in those days, there were a couple of occasions where some big time recruits, he told them they could have the first carry. What was that like to get the first touch on A&M national TV in the opener?
Yeah, that was one thing I was kind of frustrated about. I was like, no way, I'm like seventh on the depth chart. I'm going to get the first carry of the game. But yeah, I was like, man, I kind of thought, man, he's maybe lying to me, but hey, he lived up to it. But looking back on it now, I don't think it was a good idea to say that, hey, you're going to get the first carry. And I think everybody knew. I think I got stung in the backfield, like 2-yard loss on my first carry. So I think everybody knew. So
do you think also, you said you don't think that's a great idea. You think also maybe not the best idea, because it sort of creates a sense of a little bit of entitlement or maybe, you know, the expectations that contributed to you, you know, driving home early that camp?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. But, you know, I think other guys were successful on it. I think CJ was successful on his first carry. I think Jamie Harper fumbled on his first carry, so that was kind of funny. We always joke about that as well. But yeah.
Yeah, Jamie got tattooed against Alabama his first
Yeah.
All right, so really successful freshman year in 2005, and then of course here comes CJ. When did you first hear the name CJ Spiller?
I think we always kind of talked about it. I think a lot of people kind of around, you know, probably thought CJ was going to go to Florida, and I mean, just for us to get a visit, I knew if we were to get a visit, I would be able to probably get them to come here. I think I probably had most of the top recruits that come out to CJ. I probably led that charge because they always wanted me to, hey, you know, after I got CJ, coach was like, hey, James, I need you to get this guy.
So you were the lead dog with the recruitment of several others?
Yeah, CJ kind of came on a holiday weekend, I think. I think it was he came on one of those holiday weekends. So, you know, it was kind of one of those weekends that I thought I'd probably go home. But, you know, they told me, hey, CJ was coming on a visit. So, you know, I stayed and kind of, you know, just got some stuff set up, you know, so for when he come up here, you know, some stuff that, you know, he can enjoy. But, yeah, CJ definitely, man, one of the great guys. And I know one of the experiences that we share that we both had a daughter. And they, you know, they're around the same age. So we was able to share that experience and just being away, you know, just from them. And I know that was definitely great from when he got here, man. We was able to talk about that a lot and just, you know, kind of thrive off that.
When he left his visit, were you thinking he's coming?
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah, I definitely knew he would come. I think CJ Mangasarian was like, you know, me just coming off being ACC freshman of the year, top back, you know, what would probably be his role. He definitely wanted to come to Clemson. He loved the place. So after that, you know, he definitely probably wanted to know his role. And we kind of created a role for CJ, man. You know, he was going to be all over. And that's kind of like what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a playmaker. And so we definitely set it up, man. You know, things kind of looked up from there. He got his touches and he played great.
From your perspective, what made you embrace it instead of considering it a threat, having this big-time player added to the running back mix?
Because I knew having another back could take pressure off me just from having to, you know, carry the load all the time, having so many carries. You know, I never thought about this all me, you know, just even my freshman year, you know, it wasn't all me, you know, me and Reggie, we shared carries. So, you know, it was all about, you know, if we wanted to be a great program, we had to get great players. And so I kind of envisioned that already. You know, we want to get great players and we want to win big games. We got to get great players in here.
All right. That first year, CJ's first year, you start 7-1. I mean, it's looking like you guys are
rolling.
You, of course, had the game day come into town for the Georgia Tech game. That was back when it was unheard of for game day to come to Clemson. Now it seems like it happens all the time. Uh-huh. And then you and CJ are on the stage that night after the game. Nobody can forget about that. Well, first of all, what was that like being sort of like center stage there as a sophomore for you, and then so early, I guess, with you being a sophomore and CJ being a freshman, such a big part of the national conversation in college football?
Well, I just thought it was a big stage just for, you know, me and CJ, for all of the stuff we kind of went through just to make it to like where we were in our careers at Clemson. You know, CJ's, like you said, just coming in, being a freshman, me being a, you know, sophomore and just playing against Georgia Tech, you know, that was kind of my rival team, you know, because, you know, Georgia Tech was like right, I was probably about 5 or 10 minutes away. I could see the stadium from my house, you know, Georgia Tech. So I always had that rival with them. I think a lot of people, everybody else on the team, it was probably South Carolina. But me, I knew that, hey, I got to have a great game versus Georgia Tech no matter what. So it was always just a big game for me. And I can just remember that game like it was yesterday, man. Just being at the hotel, like the day of the game, me and CJ, we was roommates. So we was watching like college game day, you know, on TV in the morning, just seeing all the fans in Clemson. And, you know, it was a buzz that's going around, you know.
5 days later, Thursday night, Virginia Tech, y'all get ambushed. What do you remember from that night?
I can't remember a lot from that game. I think I remember scoring the first touchdown in that game, and after that, I think it's kind of went all downhill from there. But yeah, I don't remember a lot from the Georgia Tech game. Did we play up at Georgia Tech?
You mean Virginia Tech? Yeah, y'all played in Blacksburg.
Virginia Tech. Yeah, I always knew it was a tough place. Everybody always talked about going up there. And man, I just knew Virginia Tech was one of my, schools that was high on my list. I think they was probably number one when I first started. But I just being so far away from home, I just knew I wasn't going to be able to go to Virginia Tech. But just that game from that night, you know, it's always crazy going up there. I still watch some of those games on TV, man. I think when Clemson had to go up there maybe a few years ago, I always just have nightmares just about, like, man, I think we got to go up there and play Virginia Tech. So, I mean, it's definitely a crazy atmosphere up there. You know, they have great fans. So.
You lose four of your last five games that year, including the Music City Bowl against Kentucky. I think you and CJ had like a combined 13 touches in that game. What do you remember? Like, okay, why did it collapse that year in your mind?
To be honest, I really don't know exactly what probably happened that year. Yeah, I think a lot of people would love to probably go back and say, hey, me and CJ probably didn't touch the ball enough. But, you know, I just think we just probably didn't execute, you know, just going down the stretch. You know, plays that we needed to make, we didn't make it, you know. And I think, like you said, after that college game day and we were just being on a high, I don't want to say we just got too high and just wasn't ready. But, you know, maybe we relaxed, you know. And I think things kind of got away at the end. And I think by the time it got to the Music City Bowl, you know, a lot of guys just kind of, you know, had their minds and focus set on something else.
Of course, the South Carolina game, you lose 31-28. And then that was the game where, toward the end, Reggie Merriweather comes in and has given y'all some juice at running back. And then he gets taken out, and I want to say I have this right, but a few days later, you visited with us in the media, and you agreed, you spoke your mind and said, yeah, we should have kept Merriweather, and I don't know why they took him out. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. You definitely bring the memories back up. Yeah, I do remember that, man, and yeah, he did. You know, Reggie, just speaking of Reggie, a great guy, and you know he taught me a lot just coming in as a freshman, and always kept me, you know, on my toes. You know, when I was a true freshman, you know, always you know telling me, you know, what I needed to do, helped me a lot with the playbook and stuff like that. So, you know, I definitely give Reggie a lot of credit, you know, to a lot of my success on, you know, my freshman year. So just to see, you know, a guy who really had to kind of suck his pride up and kind of, you know, me and CJ came and, you know, he was just able to play right away. And, you know, he was one of the guys who kind of had to take a back seat. And, you know, he had, you know, good years before we got there. So, you know, me, I was excited for him to, you know, to go out there and have success versus a South Carolina team. And I know a lot of those guys in the locker room, you know, they have great rivalries with South Carolina. So, you know, I was loving just to see the success and the excitement on those guys' faces, you know. And it's, you know, to me, it was, you know, it was just a game, you know, and I always kind of treat everything like that. You know, I always wanted all the guys to have success.
Proud sponsor of the Dubcast is the Abernathy Boutique Hotel. A short Trevor Lawrence throw from Death Valley. Man, it is a favorite for the ESPN folks who come into town, who stay there various times of the year. Also, man, it is booked up and packed to the gills for home football weekends. It has really caught on for people who want to come in and stay. Also, Taps Bar and Cafe, a really cool spot to go hang out during the week. If you want to grab a drink with some friends, some of you professors out there who want to wind down after work, laid-back alternative to some of the more boisterous college bars in downtown Clemson. So go check them out if you already haven't. Got some really good beers on tap, including my favorite, the Hugie Street IPA. So check them out online at theabernathy.com. You were never afraid to speak your mind, and that's something that reporters liked because we like honesty, you know, and candid thoughts. But I'm sure the coaches didn't like it so much, and maybe Tim Beret as well. Did you ever get any heat from anybody on the inside for speaking your mind?
Oh yeah, a lot. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, but I think around that time, you know, a lot of my teammates, man, you know, they always praised me because I was kind of like the voice of the team. And, you know, it was like, hey, you know, James, they won't say nothing to you, you know, but hey, you know, they're going to say something to us. So I was kind of like the voice of the team, man. But, you know, I wanted the coaches, you know, to also know, like, hey, these, you know, this is how the players feel. You know, so I always kind of took that on my shoulder, and I received a lot of support from it, but also coaches they got on me about it. I always had a couple of meetings with the coaches about, you know, hey, you can't do this, you can't do that. So yeah.
Was their position you need to keep that stuff in house?
Yeah, I won't say like who always told me, but yeah, they, you know, I just received a lot of flag from it, you know. And but you know, a lot of that stuff didn't concern me. You know, as long as I went out and did my job, like what I was supposed to do, you know, I try to make sure, you know, guys, you know, just wouldn't be first grade with whatever was going on. So I always had to be that guy to speak out. You know, I was probably a team captain around there. So yeah, I did.
All right, fast forward and to the end of the 07 season, your third season, you announce you're going pro.
Right,
and then I guess a couple of days later, you announce, I changed my mind, I'm coming back. What do you remember from that?
I think I just remember after the season, you know, I was just, I got good results from the NFL. I think they gave me like a second round grade. And, you know, I think my family, you know, they was, you know, pushing for me to say, like, hey, you know, it's time to go. You know, you had a great year. You had a great success at Clemson. And so I kind of went with that, you know, and not even, you know, just doing what I wanted to do again. So, and I think a few days, you know, I actually went down to work out in Pensacola, and just talking to, I talked to Coach Spence. I think he called me like a few times. You know, just wanted me to come back, you know, just, you know, I talked with CJ, you know, Jacoby, he was one of my great friends as well. He also talked with me, and I kind of just made my decision. I was like, man, you know, it was just no fun just working out, not having anybody around me. I was on my own. So it was a little different for me. So, and I was like, man, I got another year to come back. We was going to have a great team. Everybody actually was coming back on the team. We probably had a lot of players coming back on offense. I'm not sure about defense, but I know we had at least four linemen coming back, you know, and our receivers coming back. So it was definitely a good thought, you know, at the moment of, you know, as far as like coming back.
James, you, Cullen, and CJ in the 2008 preseason ACC Player of the Year voting were 1, 2, and 3. I think that's unprecedented, and I don't think that's happened since. So yeah, y'all had a lot of firepower coming back. Do you remember all the hype going into that season? I think y'all were number 9 going into the 08 season.
Yeah, I definitely remember. I definitely remember all the hype, you know, especially, you know, when I decided to come back, you know, a lot of people was kind of, they were shocked, but they was excited at the same time. I know the fan base was definitely excited. All my teammates and everybody else was excited, you know, for me coming back. So I know it was definitely a big deal. You know, we had a lot of expectations to live up to, you know, that year. So, yeah.
The 08 opener in your hometown against Alabama, and this is not the Alabama that everybody knows now. This was they were a 7-win team in Nick Saban's first season. You guys were expected to beat them. When during that game did you think, uh-oh?
Man, I think just watching their front just was able to dismantle us. Watching Mark Ingram run, I mean, what they was doing to us on defense. I mean, those guys had, you know, they had a great game plan versus us. You know, I give them a lot of credit. I don't know, even just talking to Coach Burns just before the game, like just kind of seeing them on the other side. So it was actually a lot of juice that was going around, and you know, we was very pumped and excited about the game. But yeah, we just didn't have it. And I think after that, you know, it was kind of the tone set of the year, you know, after losing that game.
October 13th, that's the day that Tommy Bowden is out and Dabo is in. When did you first hear, where were you when you heard for the first time that Tommy was gone?
I was in my room, and I don't know, I may have looked on Tiger Illustrated. I used to always be on there and looked at it, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. You know, I called CJ, hey, it's true? What's going on? And sure enough, it was true, man. And after that, you kind of seen the domino fall. You seen Rob Spence go right after that, and I knew after that, you know. Well, I was actually hearing buzz after we lost the Wake Forest game that night. And you just kind of heard the speculation then. And so that's what actually happened. You know, it was definitely shocking, but you kind of, years go by, you kind of understand why.
Dabo's first move, James, was to get rid of Rob Spence. What do you, I mean, as you said a few minutes ago, you know, he came in during your recruitment. There was all this optimism about the future with him running the show. What was the problem, I guess the fundamental problem with his offense? Was it that you guys, you know, practiced too much stuff and only used a small fraction of it in games? Was it something else?
I can't really pinpoint exactly what happened. I definitely can't. I can't really pinpoint what happened. I mean, we did a lot of stuff that maybe, yeah, we practiced and didn't do. But at the same time, I just thought we didn't execute. You know, we was in a lot of games. We couldn't execute down the stretch, and I think that's what caused us to lose a lot of games.
One of the most unforgettable pictures from that day on October 13th was after practice, and you're meeting with us, mm-hmm. and you're in tears. Take us back to your emotions of that moment right there after practice, as all of it sort of, I guess, hit you at one time.
Yeah. I mean, you have so much stuff going through your head. You thinking like, man, my coach's gone. You know, I came back for my senior year and this has happened. You know, so it was just so much going on, man. And I knew it was nothing that, you know, I could do about it. You know, I couldn't go out and have a great game, you know, so it was a lot. It was just a lot on my shoulders. And I just kind of feel like, you know, at that moment, you know, I had let my head coach down, but that's just me just taking it all on my shoulders. You know, I always wanted my coach to have success, because we had success for all the years I have been there, you know, and until that moment. So, you know, definitely, like I said, like just going back to my freshman year, it was a lot that, you know, that I wasn't ready for it, and I wasn't able to deal with me losing a head coach, you know, for the first time. So.
Did you keep in touch with Tommy from that point?
Yeah. Not right off that year, but I kind of talked with Tommy, you know, as the years went on after that year. You know, he's a funny guy, you know, so we kept in contact.
Did Dabo sell you that year? Like, a lot of people talk about the first meeting he had that day, you know, where he told all the coaches to get out. He just wanted him and the players. Was there a moment for you where you looked at Dabo and said, okay, this is the guy, you know, who's going to lead this team this year and this program in the future to where it wants to be?
Yeah, Dabo actually called me right in, man. And he knew, like, he's saying that I wear, you know, I had the emotions on my sleeve, and, you know, he talked to me one-on-one, just told me, like, hey, you're gonna have to be the lot to lead. You're going to have to be the guy to lead this team. And you know, and I had just had so much anger in me, man. I just can remember it. And I knew, like, you know, now I got another guy, like, stepping in, you know, and I knew Dabo had the keys. So, hey, you know, it was time to load up the ship and lead this team in the right direction. But I definitely remember that moment, you know, just sitting down talking with him. And I knew, you know, what we had to do. But it was definitely just a frustrating moment after that had happened. So, you know, he asked me, like, hey, are you all in? You know, I need you all in. And, you know, you are what's going to, you know, make this thing go. And so, you know, I told him I was definitely all in.
Looking back, did you make the right decision to come back for 08?
Yes, I thought I did. You know, I was able to get a lot of experience, man. Just to see the highs and the lows. So you know, I was a man, you know, when I came back my senior year, and man, you learn from, you know, from tough moments and your greatest moments. So I think I definitely made the right decision. You know, just on a standpoint of just me. Just on me personally, you know, just as a man, I think I definitely made the right decision on coming back. You know, I was able to get closer to graduating, so a lot of that stuff, you know, definitely helped me.
Drafted in the 6th round by the Browns, also played for the Redskins, Texans, and Lions before, I guess, your last NFL time was 2011, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's 2012.
Okay. How do you, you know, I talked to a lot of former players on this podcast, and a lot of them talk about, you know, the difficulty of, you know, when the game that has been so much a part of your identity since you can remember is no longer there. Has that been difficult for you to transition and to move on and into the so-called real world?
Yeah, it started off when I first got out of the league and wasn't playing anymore. Yeah, it was definitely difficult because, I mean, a lot of stuff wasn't the same. You know, I had been playing football and just going to class and just football was just always there for me. So it was definitely difficult because, I mean, you lose so much, you know, something, you know, the game that you've been playing your whole life. And a lot of people don't know how to respond to it. So, yes, it definitely changed me in a lot of ways.
So your relationship with Dabo, you said he had been working on you to come back. What does he tell you? Like, what's his, I don't want to say sales pitch, but what's his message to you?
We got to sit down and talk again. But yeah, he just told me, like, man, hey, what are you waiting on? Like, this opportunity is waiting for you. You know, he want me to, I'm still a few credits or hours away from graduating. So and I think, you know, and that's what he kind of seen. And, you know, he want me to come back and finish it. And so, you know, I definitely credit him for, you know, just with speaking to me on and just giving me a little bit more motivation. CJ is always on me. You know, he's always been on me. Maria has always been on me since I left Clemson. She's one of those persons, too, you know, who I know a lot of people don't speak about, that who's always been on me. I can't even really say enough about her.
Does any part of what Dabo has done here surprise you?
I would say no. I would say no because I think, man, a lot of people always kind of expect that out of Dabo because he's always had success. Like, a lot of his guys, like, always been successful. I mean, Dabo, definitely, he was the recruiting coordinator, I think, for a long time here. And when he went out and put his mind to it, man, he'd get those guys to come to Clemson. And just to win the national championship, man, I was so excited for him. You know, I know his kids, and just to see them, the smile on his face, his wife, man, it means a lot, man. And it's crazy, man, because I get to watch them on the sideline and watch Will them, man. I remember just Will used to be on the sideline just all the time with me, Jacob, and CJ just around us. So, man, it's just great, man. it's amazing.
What's Jacoby up to?
Jacoby's back in Florida. He's back in Florida. I think he's a salesman at a car dealership, I think.
Okay. All right. I say this at risk of overlooking the Notre Dame game. I don't want to do that because that looks like a tough matchup. But if Clemson and Alabama play for the fourth consecutive year, what's your breakdown of that matchup? What happens?
Well, let me first say I think that's definitely going to happen. I've been telling people, it's so many Alabama fans in Atlanta, so, you know, they're always on my head about, they know Clemson is going to be there, and, you know, I feel like Clemson definitely have a chance. I mean, offensively, I think we probably the best matchup, you know, that they probably have seen this year. You know, I love the rookie quarterback. You know, I've been able to watch him a lot in high school too. So I've always been able to watch Trevor just growing up in high school, just dismantling everybody. So, you know, I was definitely excited. You know, even when Debo, you know, had to make the tough decision to start him, I thought that was a great decision because he was able to now give him that experience. And I know to be able to beat Alabama, you got to be able to throw the ball downfield. And I feel like we have the matchup with those guys on the outside, T. Higgins and a lot of those other guys. And defensively, the defensive line, I think that's the matchup that's going to help us win the game. I think if we can disrupt what they're trying to do on offense for throwing the ball downfield, I think we can get to the quarterback, and I think it should definitely be a close game at the end.
You mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Just 2 years ago, Clemson said goodbye to Deshaun Watson, maybe the best player in school history, and now here they are with Trevor Lawrence, who might prove to be as good, maybe better, than Deshaun Watson. How crazy is it? I mean, you were the guy who came here on a leap of faith, you know, when it was unheard of, almost unheard of, for Clemson to get a big-time player out of Georgia. How incredible is it now to have two quarterbacks the caliber of Lawrence and Watson coming in such close succession?
I mean, I think it's great. I mean, Deshaun Watson was an amazing talent. I probably thought we'd never see a guy of his caliber, you know, just to come back in Clemson. But hey, man, all the credits, you know, go back to Dabo, man, and getting Trevor Lawrence there. And, you know, I seen this guy on a high school level, just, you know, he's doing what he want to do. And, you know, I just can't wait to see, you know, how he responds in those big games, you know, versus Notre Dame and Alabama. You know, he's a guy who I don't think, you know, he hasn't shown a lot of his mobility, but a lot of people don't know that he can run. And, you know, I think that's what's going to affect, those teams in the college playoffs. You know, definitely versus Alabama. They definitely, if you have somebody, a mobile threat quarterback who can run, I think that's the difference maker. And I think that's what Deshaun Watson had, you know, when he played against those guys. And he did it both years. So me, I'm always giving a lot of those people, you know, crap about, you know, how Deshaun Watson, you know, he's done it. Well, we actually should have had two national championships. You know, we let one slip away, but got the other one. So I'm always giving people crap about that and letting them know, yeah, about wait till you see Trevor Lawrence.
One thing I forgot to ask you, James, we talked about you driving home during that camp in 2005. CJ. After the 2006 season, after that Music City Bowl, he drove home and was going to go to Florida. after they won the national championship. What do you remember from that?
You know what? I kid you not, man. I mean, the game that I came up to the NC State game, you know, I kind of, somebody told me about that. I was like, what? I didn't even know. So I talked with CJ about that. And yeah, CJ was like, yeah. He said he definitely considered it, but yeah, he didn't leave. So yeah, I definitely did not know that.
So there was no heart to heart between you two at the time.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised by it. If I would have knew, you know, I definitely would have been able to talk him out of it. But I guess good thing he was able to come back and change everything around.
James Davis, the Thunder of the Thunder and Lightning duo. Is there anything we haven't talked about you want to talk about?
No, not really, man. I'm definitely excited about, you know, the Clemson program this year. You know, definitely hope we can pull it off and, you know, win a national championship this year and just to keep succeeding, you know. I also want to, you know, wish, or just double, just, man, great respect. And just to keep the success going in Clemson, and you know, hopefully we can keep him here for sign him a lifetime contract, because he's definitely going to keep on the roll.
By the way, you keep in touch with Burton Burns?
Yeah, man. Me and Burton Burns, we keep in contact. You know, I think he's like the assistant athletic director or something at Alabama.
Yep.
So yeah, I was actually helping, man, Burton Burns get a head coaching job somewhere, but I think he's kind of like maybe trying to hang it up.
Well, James, best of luck to you and your endeavors and what you're doing now, and if and when you do end up coming back to Clemson and joining Dabo's staff, we'll have to have you back on for another interview. I know that you're a fan favorite, and plenty of people had asked me to give you a call to be on this podcast, so couldn't be more appreciative of you joining us.
Thank you. I'll definitely look forward to getting up there with you guys. And, you know, I can't wait.
All right, James, we'll let you get back to this Seahawks game watching your brother.
Okay, man. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you so much to James Davis for joining us on a Sunday afternoon while his brother was playing with the Seahawks. That'd be really cool if James could get back up to Clemson, back in the fold with the football program, and get back to school and finish out his degree. So thanks to him for sharing that story with us. Also, thanks to our title sponsor, Parham Smith and Arch and Hull Law Firm in downtown Greenville. If you hadn't gotten a Clemson Dubcast koozie, go by the law offices. Blake Smith will hook you up with one. Also, Tandem Payment in Greenville, proud sponsor. And finally, last but not least, the Abernathy Boutique Hotel in Clemson. Really appreciate all of our sponsors, without whom none of this would be possible. Most of all, thank you all for listening. I think we got like 65,000 downloads in the last few months, so really appreciate that. Everybody have a great week, and stay tuned, as usual, for the next podcast to drop Friday morning. Cheers.